Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're off on a walk again today, and this is a bit of a spontaneous and probably going to be a little bit rambly, but stick with it, I think it'll be interesting. It's just going to be discussing something that we touched on yesterday when we were having breakfast, where Pete described social media as the collective unconscious, and I just thought it would be quite interesting just to explore this subject. Gorgeous day here. We're standing in a wild meadow full of flowers surrounded by woodland, which was going to snake up through the meadow and into the woods and then down along the canal for a little while and then back up into the woods again. It's so beautiful today. It's like being in a different country. Anyway, so when we talked about this yesterday, I mean, we was just brief, but we were particularly talking about YouTube at the time. But then I thought, well, this would expand out into the whole of the social media scene. But let's just start off with talking about YouTube, because we often talk about, because we watch quite a lot of YouTube and we read the comments underneath.
Bad mistake.
Which, you know, vary a lot, but, you know, there's an awful lot of, you know, what's well recognised now as deliberate trolling, where people put hurtful comments on because they enjoy...
Well, because they can.
they enjoy the thought that they actually are hurting someone's feeling whilst remaining anonymous, so it's no consequences for them. They're not going to really have any much comeback from it. Not just that, there's all sorts of the comments as well. So as we were talking about that and you were describing YouTube as the collective unconscious, what did you mean?
Well, it's a bit of a throwaway remark, to be honest. And and I suspect that you'd be hard pressed to really demonstrate the assertion with any sort of rigour.
Let's say if it was a representation of the collective unconscious, I suppose we'd be wondering what is it saying about all humans.
Well, it was a bit of a throwaway remark, to be honest. But I do remember thinking in the early days of the internet that going on the internet, this was when you had dial-up modems and stuff like that, it was a bit like entering into the collective unconscious, just diving into it. And because it seems that all human emotion is there, all human thought is there, all possible ideas are there. And that they come into collision. And more so now than then, even though then I thought that it was like entering into a crazy dream world. The whole internet, you know. So, but I think this becomes apparent when you get the kind of trolley stuff, like comments on YouTube. And because there's no comeback, now you can go under a pseudonym. And some people are disinhibited and we'll just kind of say anything. And that comes to mind. So in a sense, they're kind of free associating and revealing their emotional condition, their underneath emotional condition. Now remember, we've got like the whole range of stuff on the internet now. Absolute huge and huge amounts of data, all originating from human beings. All the expression of some human thought, some human emotion, some human ideas. So in a sense, It's certainly, you know, it's not the individual unconscious, obviously, because that belongs to an individual. But it's kind of like the unconscious. It's what comes out when there's a disinhibition, what comes out from underneath? The necessity to present certain appearances. And of course, you know, millions and billions of players and actors in this scene. But in a sense, it's kind of revealing our dark recesses, you might call it. Just as we're walking through an extremely dark thicket of blackthorn arched over. And it is like the kind of dingy primordial forest for a little bit.
Before we move on, perhaps just explain what you mean when you say the collective unconscious. What does that term mean?
Well, this was C.J. Jung's idea. C.J. Jung was started off as a disciple of Freud before he went his own way. And Freud, as you know, popularised the idea of the unconscious mind. But Freud was talking about individuals, saying that we have a part of our being that contains material which is not conscious, but which is in some sense kind of active within us, and which can come back into consciousness. And this is why we have dreams. Dreams are manifestations of the unconscious coming into consciousness. So we have a dream and we remember it. Hallucinations, visions, imaginative productions are likewise manifestations of what is unconscious within us coming to consciousness. There's various ideas about what the unconscious might contain. Repressed feelings that we don't want to recognise. Sexual material, particularly in societies where this material is repressed by custom and controlled by custom. In fact, all kinds of feelings that we don't want to acknowledge. Traumas, traumatic material. And all the Freud's work on hysteria dealt with that. Freud didn't actually originate the idea of the unconscious. I think it's been known. The phenomena have been of concern, the phenomenon of dreams, the phenomenon of creativity, the phenomenon of hallucination and vision, the phenomena produced by psychedelic drugs and so forth have been a concern since antiquity. In the 19th century, George Grodek brought the idea into focus, and Nietzsche was very well aware of it and used the concept, had a good concept of the unconscious, which inspired Freud. Incidentally, Jung was a jobbing psychiatrist in his early years, worked in a mental asylum, the Bergholzli in Switzerland, and was intrigued by the way in which schizophrenic patients would draw or would talk about images which were also present in ancient mythology, Indian mythology, Greek mythology. For instance, the idea of Kundalini, or the serpent, that illiterate and naive schizophrenic patients would report snakes going up their spine. And Jung sort of very well read, very well versed in a whole range of literatures, thought, well, this is the Kundalini that we find in the Hindu Tantra. This person can't possibly know about that, so where's it coming from? And also, people would dream about, in his work as a psychoanalyst, in which he interpreted people's dreams, they would dream, they would produce images, they would dredge up these images, which they didn't particularly know about, but which were found all across the mythological and spiritual literature of the planet, and the art as well, the images we find in the art. So he thought, well, how is this happening? And he kind of had this conception that underneath the personal unconscious was a layer of archetypes, collective unconscious. And this was almost like the deep structure of the psyche, deep structure of the soul, you might say, that in certain circumstances could manifest into consciousness. And it was this that had produced this uniformity of imagery and across the planet and across time. So this is the idea of a collective unconscious. This is like the common deep imagery of humanity and symbolism. You see, the images that are produced by the collective unconscious are symbolic of universals, of things which are universal to all of us and across time and space. So in a sense, the collective unconscious is this kind of repository of everything possible, is the way I kind of like to look at it, you know. I think that inside us, everything possible is done. Nothing possible is left undone in the deep recesses of our psyches. Nothing possible. We don't, of course, act it all out, you know. And a good job too. You know. But there it is. But of course, this is what the internet is. You know, it's manifestations by all kinds of people from all over the planet, in which they, in a disinhibited fashion, report in some way, or expose in some way, or express in some way, some deep aspect of them, some self of themselves. And in a sense, humanity gives itself away in this respect across the internet. You know, I mean, the internet, there's loads of wonderful information, there's inspiring work, there's all kinds of films and literature. You get these pretty well the entire canon, you know, of world literature. It's all been put on there by various projects, great works. And but also all this dark shit, you know. And the hate speech and all the rest of it. And I mean, very often there are agendas, of course there are, you know, that somebody will slag off something that's going to kind of damage a project that they don't like, or that they might perceive as being against their interest. You know, there can be there's a load of practical, nasty kind of political struggle going on there. But at the same time, there's a lot of just exposure of raw emotions and resentments and so forth. So that's why I say that, you know. It's like the whole world is there, all human life is there, as it used to say.
Yeah.
At the top of the News of the World, when that was still a newspaper, scurrilous Sunday newspaper. All human life is here. And that's your internet, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and say some of the commenty stuff, you know. I mean, some of it's worse. There's a whole profession of trolling, you know.
Yeah.
There are paid trolls.
Well, there are, yeah. People, you know, are paid to troll.
Yeah, there are paid trolls who are just paid to be politically potent in various public fora. And but there are people who just do it for sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this whole language, you know, somebody, you think, trigger somebody, you've scored one up over them.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of behaviour you get with blokes on a building site working together, you know. That you perhaps pick on somebody and try and wind him up. And if he loses his temper, you've scored. You've succeeded in the wind-up. And they call that triggered, you know, and that kind of thing happens. You go on 4chan or some of these things where the whole point of the forum is to see who can out-troll who. You know.
Wow, I bet
there's
that's
a sport in the wildlife. It's fucking horrible. It's kind of disgusting, some of it, you know, and it gets out of hand, you know. But it's human beings, that's us, warts and all, I reckon. That might even be a virtue of the internet, all the horribleness of it. And there is some fucking deep, dark fucking shit on there, isn't there, you know.
Yeah.
And the horribleness of it is it's rubbing our noses in who we are as a species, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's showing us our kind of depth. You know, depth psychology, of course, was another name for like Jungian analysis. Now, for myself, I mean, I think these are very useful models, and they help you to navigate a whole lot of shit. At the same time, there might be a case for going Heideggerian on that arse and saying that the unconscious is a fucking completely incoherent notion anyway, and still more the collective unconscious, and there's a lot of arguments about there. it's kind of something that I'm kind of batting backwards and forwards like a ping pong, you know, this Heideggerian and Wittgensteinian sniffiness about the unconscious and therefore about the collective unconscious on the one hand, and the power of the hermeneutics of suspicion that Freud and he put together out of Nietzsche's hermeneutics of suspicion, in which Freud's followers, Adler, Reich, Otto Rank, Melanie Klein, etc., you know, and Jung particularly, put together, you know, the way they took it off in different directions. But we need to know that these things are hermeneutics, you know, they're kind of, they're interpretations to help us to navigate and to map, and you need to be a bit clear about that, I think, if you're going to use them. Anyway, anything there at all?
Yeah. That's also very interesting. I think it's also just when you go on the internet, like most people do every day, whether it's just Facebook or you're looking up something, or you're having a look at YouTube.
Oh, it's hello.
A very lovely dog walked up.
Hello, matey. He's friendly, isn't he?
Hello.
Come on, Hunter. Good lad.
The dogs love it here. It's like dog paradise, this place, isn't it? So if you can, you know, go on the internet, it's just quite interesting just to try and experience it, thinking I am looking at the collective unconscious.
Yeah.
And just play with that for a little bit, because I think it's just a fun perspective just to entertain for a while.
Yeah. What we omitted to say there, of course, is that you can avoid that implication of the internet, you know, that it's showing us ourselves, warts and all, just by getting yourself into an echo chamber, and that is more and more the experience of people. You know.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Facebook's fixed like that. If you're a certain type of person, you'll only get Guardian feeds. You know, if you're somebody else, you'll get all stuff about why Tommy Robinson's a hero. You know,
yeah.
And Hitler was a great man. But depending on how you play it, this echo chamber tendency has grown up. In the beginning of the internet, it was a lot harder, you know, to evade, you know, this collective unconscious character of the internet. But now we can kind of get into our little nice little comfort zones, and not have to have our faces rubbed in what we are as a species.
Yeah.
So that's something interesting that's happening as well. Anyway, I think.
Because now what's going on, of course, with the internet. Well, we're being spied on, and we're being suggested things that we might like.
Yeah.
Because there'll be adverts attached to those things we might like. So, for instance, if I was to go on Facebook or be searching for YouTube videos, and they put up things recommended for you based on what you like, I'm not going to get on it anything about, I don't know, elephant hunting or something horrible like that, because there's never ever shown any interest in that. It's never been in my search terms.
Yeah.
More likely to get videos about yoga or adverts for yoga mats or something like that.
The algorithms to pick you out, characterised you.
So the kind of things that it would be suggesting that you look at will be things that you want to see already. So that's what we mean by echo chamber.
Of course, what's happening, of course, is that this kind of wild space is being monetized, turned into a marketplace and domesticated. And the way to do that is to corral everybody into little groups. Of course, we do it anyway. We did it before the internet. Think of a school playground. The internet often reminds me of a school playground,
That's very good.
The geeky kids over there, and the cool kids down there, and the ruffians over there, and then the ones that are going round like extracting pennies from the other kids under pain of a kick in the nads, you know. And there's just the whole thing there. But people are like banding together spontaneously into these affinity groups, which become echo chambers with their own language, their own terminology, their own customs and all the rest of it. Twas ever thus, my dear.
Yeah.
Anyway.
An interesting thing to try if you want to dive into the collecting unconscious in a different way. Search for something you've never searched for before. In fact, be even better if you could do it completely randomly. Maybe just open the dictionary, find a word. Giraffe or box turtle or something.
Yeah.
And start searching. And then when it says you might like this or another thing that looks like it could be it could be connected or interesting, just click on that one.
Yeah.
Have a look at that. Then it will suggest more things. Click on that one. And you can go off down a rabbit hole that way. It can be quite interesting.
I think in the early days, everybody had put a website up. This was in the days of like flashing GIFs all over the place. You know, when first people, websites were catching on. And perhaps there were only a few million on the planet, a million or something. We got very excited when there were a million websites. You're thinking, man, it's vast. Which of course it is.
Yeah.
Except now there's, you know, countless. But everybody who put one on would put one page of links of stuff that they liked.
Yeah.
As a way of recommending. And of course it was backlinks that got you your Google ranking. In those days, if you've got a lot of people linking to you, you've got a very high Google ranking. So people then started trading links, saying, I'll give you a link if you give me a link.
Yeah.
You get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails saying, will you trade me a link? Will you put a link on my page and I'll put one on yours? But of course you could go, this is what you used to do early on, is go to a links page, have a scroll down, that looks interesting, click that, go and look at that. And then go to his links page, see what they'd got. And so you went off into this kind of labyrinth of connections to see where you'd end up. And because it was very, very interesting stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
Some of it disturbing, some of it that challenged your ideas, some of it you thought was really, really crap, some of it really, really crap, dead by any standard. So, and some wonderful things, and you learned all kinds of stuff. But if you look at websites now, hardly anybody has a links page. You know, we don't recommend links anymore. And I think Google is, I don't know whether this is true, but I think
they've stopped... prioritise people with adverts, don't they?
I think they've stopped using backlinks as a means of... estimating... as a means of ranking people in their search engines, you know. If you're going to get to the top of page one of Google or not. It was all done on backlinks. That's different. Because then people hadn't really figured out how to monetize this stuff, you know. And then it was, of course, well, adverts. Yeah.
And thus enters the decentralized internet.
Yeah. Well, we need to decentralize it, don't we? And monetize it in a different way. I don't think there's anything wrong with content creators getting paid.
Yeah.
It takes time to write a book.
But.
It takes time to write a good blog. It takes time to put a YouTube video together. Effort, time, effort, learning, commitment, and all the rest of it. So you should get paid.
Aye.
But, you know, if we want a culture, we've got to free up the people who can produce it.
Yeah, there's many projects working on exactly that thing right now.
Yeah.
Which is a far better solution than bombarding people with adverts.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't look at them. You know, and I've got ad blocker, which kind of turns them off as well. Yeah. So,
but I mean, even the adverts are part of the echo chamber.
Yeah.
Because they're
targeted.
Trying to think something which is going to be
targeted.
You know, that you're going to like.
Targeted. I can watch. Indian music, and if I'm allowing the ads to come through, I'm watching somebody playing raga, Bageshri, or something like that. And then there's an advert at the beginning, and it'll be for Bitcoin futures or something like that. Because the system knows that I kind of look at stuff around cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what would be the connection between an advert for Bitcoin futures and watching the performance of a sarod player playing Raga Bageshri, you know, which is it's got a fucking remote connection, whichever way you look at it. But it knows.
It knows.
Oh my God, it knows.
They're listening. They're always listening.
Yeah. Anyway.
So yeah, a bit of a spontaneous ramble there, but I hope that was entertaining for you all. And we'll speak to you again soon.
Live long and prosper.